In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Darkness gave way to light. Waters gathered, skies stretched wide. Land rose from the deep. Life filled the earth. And man walked with God. In a garden, everything was whole. Until a voice, a question, a lie. Then came temptation, deception, sin. And from it, brokenness, pain, hurt, guilt, shame, death. This is where it all began. And this explains everything.
Well, how are you guys doing this morning? All right, good, good, good. I think it's been less than 3 years that Kate and I have lived in our house here in Tiffin. And I don't know if you've experienced anything like this, but I think almost every appliance has broken since we got in there, okay? I don't know. It's just how it is. It's just bad luck or whatever. I'm talking about like our stovetop, our oven, our microwave, our disposal, our dishwasher, our fridge, like all those things have broken. And when they break, it's like either I go ahead and just replace it, or what I want to do is I'm like, well, I could probably fix it. Like maybe there's just something easy that I just don't know about. And it's like I try to fix it and I order some part off eBay or something. It gets in and I end up not fixing it and spending more money because I have parts that I don't need anymore because I ended up just go out and buying a new one. It's just how it works for me. I don't know. But one of our appliances that hasn't broken technically yet is our dryer, and it's a nice dryer. It was there when we moved in and stuff, but it works fine. But it has this one thing that I just cannot stand, and that's the fact that the door opens the wrong way. So we have our dryer, we have a wall, and the door opens this way. So to get in, it's like there's not enough space to squeeze in between the door when it's open and the wall, and it's like you got to reach in and kind of grab things out and throw stuff in. Like it's just not convenient, and so. One day I woke up and I was like, you know what? I'm going to fix that. Now, dryers, if you may or may not know, they have the ability to, you could flip the door to the other side and put the hinges on the other side. Makes it so much easier. It's a good thing. And so I woke up and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do that today. Like, I'm going to take this project. I'm going to complete it. While I'm at it, I was like, you know what? I might as well like clean it out and stuff. Like all the lint that gets kind of behind the lint trap and stuff like that. Like I'm going to clean all that out that I can't get to. And this dryer is going to be running smooth. All right, I'm gonna get this. It's gonna be good. And so, as a man, right, I go to my garage. I get all my tools, and then I go to my dryer and I start taking this thing apart. Actually, it's not the first thing I did. The first thing I did was get on YouTube and have another man give me step-by-step instructions of exactly what I need to do as he's doing it with his dryer in his laundry room, And it's interesting, as I'm getting these instructions and watching YouTube, I listen to what he says, I see what he does, and I press pause, and I go ahead and do it. And then I'm like, okay, play, I see what he's going to do next, and then I press pause, and I do it. And you know, it's like, take this thing off first. I'm like, why has it got to be taken off first? Like, why not this over here? And then you start messing with it, you're like, oh yeah, that has to come off first. Like, this guy knows what he's talking about. Or he'll say something like, well, what you need to do is you need to pull out and then pull up, and it should come undone. And I'm like, well, why not just pull it off? And then you're like, oh, it doesn't work that. Oh, I got to pull out. And then I'm, all right, that makes sense. And so as I'm going through this process, I clean it all out. I kind of take it all apart. I'm switching the door over and everything. And not only does this YouTube video help me, like show me step-by-step instructions of how to take this dryer apart, but this man shows me also how to put it back together. And it's kind of complicated. I mean, mid-project, maybe you've gone through a project, something like this. I mean, I got like piles of screws laying places and nuts and bolts and washers. And I got like all these different piles all over me. And then I got all these pieces and parts all around. All the while, I'm trying to keep our kids at bay. Like, don't come in this room. Like, they walk in, they're like kicking stuff. I'm like, what do you do? Get out of here, you know. And I don't want to lose a part. I'll never find it again. And so I'm going through all this stuff, And at the end of the video, I mean, it looks like I get it all put back together. It looks exactly how it did before. I'm watching him. He's got his dryer all put back together. It looks exactly how it did before. And he's like, and that's it. And he looks over, and there's a few pieces and parts that he has just sitting there. And he's like, oh, looks like we got some extra pieces and parts. And he's, and you could tell he doesn't know what to do. And I look over at my dryer, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I got the same extra pieces and parts. And then he's like, I don't know where these were supposed to go. We must have missed it someplace, but it's probably just not that big of a deal. And then the video ended. And I'm like, wait, don't go. Show me what do I got to do with these things? I don't know where this stuff goes. And so now I have my once perfectly good dryer doesn't run exactly right anymore. It like goes only a few minutes and then it stops. I think I have a sensor, so I don't know what's going on with it. But I messed that up. That was like a couple weeks ago. But this is what we do. We kind of, in a sense, we do the same thing in our life, meaning we have a bunch of questions just about life in general. And I'm not talking about like, I don't know, what are we having for lunch today? I'm talking like scratch below the surface a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? Like just under the surface level thinking, we all have questions that are deep, meaningful questions. Like, what's the purpose of my life? Why am I here? How did I get here? We look at our life, we're like, why do I have to go through this pain and suffering? Like, why does this go wrong in my life every single time? And then a lot of times we're not just looking at our own life, we're looking out at the world, and we look at the world and we're just like, man, this world is just so messed up. Like, it's so evil, there's so much bad in this world. Like, why is the world the way that it is? And so many of us, that pushes us if we refuse to ignore those questions, and I think that's a really good thing. We should be looking into those things. It pushes us to search for answers and to search for either someone or some of us. It's something that can explain it all. And we look and look and look. We look on YouTube. We read books. We do all the things, and we don't come up with anything except there's one person that has the answers that we're looking for. And it happens to be the one that created all this, and he has given us this book right here to answer life's most important questions. And like the YouTube guy, I mean, God answers most of the most significant questions about life within just the few first pages of this book, where God, he literally explains like everything. And so over the next few weeks, what we're going to do as a church family is we are going to walk through just the first few pages of your Bible. And it all starts with the first verse of the first chapter of the first book. And this is how your Bible begins. If you guys have your Bibles, just turn to the first page. He says, in the beginning, God. Meaning, before there was anything, before life itself, God just was. And he was just there. And he was perfect, and he was infinite, and he was holy, and he had power. And in one creative moment, God just spoke with his words, and he created the heavens and the earth. Now, when he did this, the earth was formless, and it was empty, and darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that that light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God decided to call the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was an evening and there was a morning that first day. And so can you imagine this in your minds? I know we can't like technically do that, but just try with our feeble minds. Like, think about it. Can you imagine God is just there? He just exists, and he just speaks earth, and bam, there's earth. It's just there. And God then decides to spend the next 5 days actively building and constructing and inventing and designing that earth and the things around earth. It's funny because I don't know about you, but you know, I grew up going to church and everything, this church actually, and as a kid, you know, you kind of just view God as kind of the old man in the sky. He's sitting on his throne, and he's like all powerful and stuff, but He just doesn't seem really involved. In fact, I think the word that a lot of us may use is it just sometimes feels to us, it feels like God is just kind of distant, you know? Like he's there, like he's doing his thing, but we look at our lives and things go wrong in our life, it just doesn't feel like God's doing anything. Like, what? Why is this? Why am I going through this? Or why does it have to be this way? Or we look out at the world around us and situations around us. We're like, well, why does it have to be like that? Or why, where is God in all this? It just doesn't feel a lot of times for us that God is around. It almost feels like he's just kind of distant. All right. We view him through creation as like he's just kind of barking out orders. We read this through that lens, and it's like he's just like, let there be light, you know, and all of a sudden there's light, done, you know, and then it's like, I want plants, okay, there's plants, and I want a moon, and there's, you know, just all these things. But that's not at all what God is actually like. And that's not at all how creation was created. God was involved at the very beginning in every tiny little detail. He put thought, he put care, he put time into every single thing that he made. And we can see that just by looking at nature and by digging into science a little bit. Like we could see how detailed God actually was. Like for example, right, a cell. We know what a cell is, right? Okay, the other services did not know. They're like, what? Huh? A cell? It's like they couldn't think back to sixth grade. Okay, so sixth grade or whenever, you know, we take like, it's not biology, but you know, you learn about this kind of stuff. A cell. Okay, a cell is tiny. We know that. A cell, obviously, we can't even see it with our own eyes. Do you realize that in your body, as you're sitting here right now, that you have over 37.2 trillion cells, like all kind of doing their thing? You know what I mean? Like they all have a specific design and a specific purpose for all the little things that they do. And they all collectively kind of work together to make you, you. Isn't it weird to think about? 37.2 trillion in our bodies. And cells aren't even like the smallest thing. We can't see those, right? But even smaller than that, we could break down cells into like the building blocks of anything, you know, an atom. We could break them down into atoms. The average cell, by the way, just to kind of help us understand a little bit, although we still can't even comprehend it, but the average size cell, it is made up of over 100 trillion atoms. T, trillion with a T. And then an atom's not even the smallest thing. I mean, an atom is made up of protons, neutrons, and electrons. You take protons and neutrons, they're made up of even smaller things called quarks. Right? The quarks are so small, scientists, they can't see them. We can't even measure the size of a quark. We just know that quarks exist, and they exist in all different forms. I mean, there's top quarks, bottom quarks, charm quarks, strange quarks, up quarks, down quarks. I don't even know who named those quarks, but that's true. That's what they're called. And it's just like, what is going on there? But we can't see them, but we know through physics and stuff that they are truly there and they actually exist. And many scientists believe that there are things that are smaller than quarks that actually make up a quark. See, God has created our universe extremely, extremely detailed. Why? It's because he's a creative God. It's because that's what he does. That's who he is. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. So maybe the oldest story in the Bible was written. And it's a story found in the Old Testament about a guy named Job. Okay, and we've talked about Job here before. I love this story. It's one of my favorite stories in the entire Bible. But Job is a really good dude. But at one time, Job, he starts questioning God's goodness. And when that happens, God shows up to kind of put Job in his place. And he shows up in this like huge storm tornado thing, which had been awesome. And he begins talking to Job. And actually what he does is he begins just peppering Job with all these questions that Job just cannot answer. And a lot of these questions deal with how God created the earth. It deals with these first few days. And so God asks Job just randomly. He's just like, hey, Job, were you the one who decided like the size of the earth? All right, did you decide, you know, it's going to be this size? And did you decide what the earth would be made out of? Were you the one who placed the oceans and the lakes and the rivers? Did you decide where those things would go and how deep they would be? Did you invent things like waves and clouds and snow and rain and frost and lightning and dirt and dust when none of that had ever existed before? Were you the ones that thought that kind of thing up? I mean, God, he describes these moments. He goes on to talk about how he made some of the animals, which I like. And he talks about how some of the animals, he's like, look at the animals, man. They're unique. They're creative, just like I am. God says, some of them I made strong. Some of them I made that they can fly super high. Some of them are untrainable by humans. I got one of those at home. It's an issue. He says, I made things like lions and birds and deer and dinosaurs and horses and even one of what I love that God brings up, he says, and even an ostrich, which is weird that God like points out the ostrich. If you think about it, that is just a weird animal, you know? It's huge, they're mean, they're, you know, they're just big things, birds. And the way God describes it, he says, I creatively and I purposely made the ostrich so dumb. He's like, it's creative that way. He's like, that was no accident. He's saying, I made the ostrich that way. But then he turns to Job, and he says, but have you seen it run? He's like, I made that animal. I made that thing so it could just run and run and run. Ostrich, by the way, is one of the fastest land animals out there. Maybe the fastest if you include distance in there. And he said, God says, man, when the ostrich just starts running, he's like, man, I just love to watch that. It runs and then it laughs at the fastest horses as it passes them by. So God describes it. He's like, that's the way I made it. Because that's the way I wanted that thing. And while God is building and constructing and inventing and designing over the first 6 days the first 6 days ever, he also describes to Job, he says, the angels were already created and the angels were watching me as I created the earth and everything around the earth. He says, the angels were screaming and shrieking and shouting for joy because they just can't hold it in because they've never seen anything like it before. I mean, picture like a stadium where just the crowd is going wild. He's like, that's exactly how it was. I'm just creating. And they're just like, whoa, what is that? Oh, that's crazy. Do you see this over here? I mean, they're just going crazy. They're like, God, what is that? And he's like, it's a rock. And they're like, it's a rock. I've never seen a rock before. Man, that's a cool rock. Hey, did you see? He just made a rock. Can I touch it? Can I feel it? What's it look like? You know, what's it feel like? Like, they're just going nuts about all this stuff. They cannot believe what God is doing, and they have a front row seat to creation as he's doing it. See, he creates and designs in order the atmosphere, and then the land, and then plants, and then the sun, and the moon, and the stars, and the galaxies, and the animals. And then after every day, you know what he does? He steps back from everything that he's made as he's created it and purposely made it the way that he wants it. And he looks at all that he's made and he declares, man, this is so good. But apparently God thought he could do better, because the crowning jewel of creation is the last thing that he creates. And it's something different and it's something unique. He says, then God said, he says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And in the very next sentence, he says, so God created. So God created, meaning you are not some evolved ape that just kind of happened by chance. That's not how you came to be. Right? You are different than the animals. You did not come from an animal. He says, so God created man in his own image. And what he's going to do is 3 to 4 times here, God's going to say, hey, we are made in his image. We reflect him a certain way. Meaning we were made to be a display of him. Not him, but a display of him. And so what's that look like? Well, number one, he gave us the ability to think and to reason like him. He gave us the ability to have hearts that feel the things that he felt. We feel emotion just like he feels emotion. We have a will just like God has a will, because God is not an active God. He's not a safe and tame one. Or God is an active God. He's not safe. I don't know what I'm saying. Because God is active. Right? He's not safe. He's not tame. See, we are different than the animals. And a lot of us in here, we're like, well, duh. Although there's a few of us, we're like dog lovers, you know, we got all the pets at home and everything, and I'm not saying that's wrong, that's fine, you do what you do, that's cool, but you understand that your dog can't do those things, right? Like your dog can't reason, your dog can't think, Your dog can't talk. Your dog doesn't have a heart to feel like genuine love. Your dog can't do those types of things. I know some of you guys, you're like, whoa. Talk about love. My dog loves me. You know, I know what you're thinking. Right? No, your dog runs on instinct, as designed, by the way, and he likes anything that gives it food, and you're the one holding the cheese. So that's why it looks like that, you know? See, unlike your dog, we were made in God's image. He says he created him in the image of God, and he created them male and female. This means, by the way, you are no accident. And some of you need to hear that here this morning. You are no accident. God purposely, he thoughtfully thought you up. And he created you. It says God made the male and female, meaning men and women, to reflect who God is. Now, we'll just get past this real quick. We understand that men and women are different. Some of us, okay, some of you guys need to go study some diagrams or something. All right, there's some differences going on there. We live in a world that does whatever it possibly can to make men and women the same. And that's just not how we were made, right? God made man a man to reflect certain characteristics of God. And God made woman a woman to reflect other characteristics of God. We are good at different things. We all, by the way, have equal worth. Why? He says it. Because we are made in his image. But we are different. And here's a little secret that we need to understand. That's okay. That's okay. It's actually better that way. That's why God designed it that way. We are to complement each other. I mean, can you imagine if God only made men and he stopped there? In the whole world, we wouldn't exist now. You know, we'd blown up a long time ago. It would have been bad. We need you women in our life. So God decides to create something that reflects him. And he gets down in the dirt and he forms out of the dirt. Amen. The next chapter actually tells us how he does it. He says, he forms the man out of the dirt and he breathed the breath of life into his nose and the man became a living being. So God gets down. Try to picture this in your mind. God gets down into the dirt and he puts his face on Adam's lifeless face, and Adam wakes up for the very first time in the history of the universe, the first time face to face with his creator. Later that day, God creates Eve, the first woman. We'll look at that in a little more detail next week. And so here they are, Adam and Eve, a perfect reflection of God himself. Not God, a perfect reflection of God. And God looks at them and he blessed them. God's like, man, this is so good. God said to them, he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go be fruitful and multiply. Now we know what that means, right? Huh? Yeah, you get where that's at? All right, Adam and Eve, they're just kind of hanging there and they're just like, cool, God. All right, we're alive. Now what? And God's like, all right, this is what I want you to do. I want you, it's actually time for you to get busy and multiply. Okay, so there's like a big tree over there. You could go maybe around there. I don't know. Find a spot, but I want you to go get busy multiplying, which is kind of funny to me because we view God as like a God of a bunch of rules. You know, you can't do this. And some of that might be because we grew up in church our whole life and maybe our specific church. It was just like, it was all about rules, all right, which isn't necessarily the point of church, or it was like our grandma or somebody, you know, whatever it might be. And we just view God as like this rule giver, and we have to be rule followers and we can't have any fun, you know? But at the beginning, God is like, if you want to get technical, maybe at most 3 total rules. Like, that's it. It's not a bunch of things that you got to memorize. He had like 3. Everything else was total freedom. I mean, Adam and Eve, they got to experience more freedom than we could ever even dream of. The whole earth was like a giant playground for them. And his first rule was to go multiply. Not the worst rule, right? We can all agree on that. I mean, it's just true. I wonder how that first, this is my mind. My mind's messed up. I'm sorry. But like, I wonder how that moment was. You know, you got Adam and Eve. They're just sitting there and God's like, okay, this is what I want you to go do. And they're probably, you know, I'm sure they're like, somebody probably said it like, dude, God, we just met. you know? We've known each other for like a few minutes. This is, I don't know. But then they kind of look each other up and down. They're like, but okay, you know, all right, well, go for it. Hey, I'm just obeying, you know what I mean? I do wonder what that was like. Some of you guys are sitting here for the first time. There's like a man in here. You're sitting here for the first time, and you're like, yeah, I kind of like this church, you know? This doesn't sound so bad. I think, honey, I think we'll be back, you know? And you should. That's God's first rule. That's his thing. He's like, I want you to go, be fruitful and multiply, because eventually I want you to fill the earth, which we haven't done yet, by the way. And not only that, but he says, I want you to subdue it. Now, what's he mean here? What he means is that nature is wild, and it will always push back. That's the way God has designed it. I mean, we've felt this even in our own life. Like, you ever feel like you can't keep up with your yard? You know, you're just like, man, I just cut the grass 3 days ago. Why is it this long? Like the weeds or whatever. Or I just cut those branches last year. Or, you know, I cut that tree down, but here it is growing again. You know, this, that type of thing. See, what he's saying is he's saying nature is going to push back on you. So what I want you to do is I want you to push back on the pushback. That's what our job is. Meaning I want you to build cities and roads and dams and homes. And sure, I want you to take care of this planet, but I also want you to use it. This is here for you to use. I've made this for you. He says, I want you to rule the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every creature that crawls on the ground. I want you to be in charge. I want you to manage what I have given you. And remember that this is for you. And at the end of the day, God steps back again. So this is on the sixth day. And he looks at all that he has made. And it was, he says, very good. Indeed, an evening came and then morning on the sixth day. See, the five previous days, you know what he does? He takes a step back and he looks at everything that he designed and created and he says, man, that is so good. But then, after creating Adam and Eve, he changes it. You see that? He says, he looks out, he says, man, this is more than just good. He says, this is very good. I mean, think about all that he made up until that point. You know, everything is unique, brand new. Everything's detailed down to the smallest quirk, whatever that is. But it's also so huge. We can't wrap our minds around how small things are in our universe. We also can't wrap our minds around how big everything is. I mean, just take our galaxy for a second, the Milky Way, right? Huge. We can't even fathom this. Like, if you wanted to travel from one end of the Milky Way to the other end, and let's just make this, try to make this manageable. Let's say we could, which we can't, but let's say we could travel at the speed of light. All right, that's pretty fast. The speed of light, by the way, could travel about 5.88 trillion with a T miles a year. Now, I'm just saying, I used to run track, and I was decent at it in high school, but that's pretty fast. 5.88 trillion miles a year. If you wanted to travel from one end of the Milky Way to the other end of the Milky Way, it would still take you over 100,000 years to travel as you travel about 5.88 trillion miles a year. That's a lot of, that's huge. That's a lot of space. And for us here on Earth, we live right about here. About two-thirds of the way out. In between the spirals is this place that scientists call the galactic habitable zone. That's what they call it. And it's actually one of the few places in the galaxy, maybe the only place in the entire galaxy, that life can actually live. Now, if we lived in the center of the galaxy, actually, it's impossible. We couldn't exist here. If our planet was in one of the spirals or the rings outside the center, we wouldn't be able to exist there. We live two-thirds of the way out. It's the only place possible to have a solar system kind of like ours. And among the 100 billion to 400 billion stars that are just in our average-sized galaxy, which is kind of funny to me because think about it, scientists who spend their whole lives studying with the best equipment known to man, they aren't even sure about how many hundreds of billions of stars there are in our average-sized galaxy. Like, we're not even sure. Like, scientists are like, I don't know, probably like 100 billion to 400 billion, something like that. And we can't even pinpoint the to a hundredth of a billion. But if we could, or out of all the, among the 100 billion or the 400 billion stars there are in our galaxy, there is a star. And it's not the biggest, and it's not the brightest. And orbiting around that star is just a handful of planets. And one of them is different. In fact, it's the only planet like it to have ever been found in the entire universe, and that's Earth. That's our home. That's what God created. And he created our home with thought and care. I mean, think about just, I don't know, like the moon, for example. The moon's kind of a weird thing if you think about it. Like without the moon, the Earth would wobble chaotically. Right, the moon's the thing that stabilizes the Earth on its axis, and so what helps us gives us seasons and the climate. If there was no moon, there'd be wild climate swings. I mean, things wouldn't be able to survive. I mean, it'd be terrible. And not only that, but the moon, it also kind of resists the Earth as the Earth is spinning, and so it slows the spin of the Earth down, which is a good thing because if the Earth just spun on its own, a day would only be a few hours long. Like, it's just crazy. And so God placed us, our planet, in the perfect distance from the sun so we wouldn't be too cold or it wouldn't be too hot. He took our sun and he placed it in the perfect place in our entire galaxy. He gave us the right kind of moon that allows for the right speed and the right tilt. And everything's moving on top of all that. It's the way God designed. He designed creation so that you could be spinning right now here in Tiffin. We're spinning around 800 miles per hour, and we don't fly off into space. That's a good thing. I appreciate that. It's a good idea by God. And while we're spinning at almost 800 miles per hour, our Earth is traveling and rotating around the sun roughly at 67,000 miles per hour. And while we're rotating at 800 miles per hour and we're traveling around the sun at over 67,000 miles per hour, our sun is traveling around the center of our galaxy roughly around 514,000 miles per hour. And then our galaxy is actually orbiting around something we don't even know what. Scientists don't know. We just know that it's moving. Everything is moving. Everything was designed, and it's crazy because if there was a God and that God wanted to show us a little bit of what he's like, you would expect him to make it big. And he did. Psalms 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the work of his hands. Meaning God just doesn't have power, he displays his power. And every time we look at all the things that God has made, the Bible is saying that's God declaring who he is. That's God trying to show you who he is. He's showing you parts. He's showing you his creativity, and he's showing you his power. He says it proclaims his work because it was his work. It's so huge. And we are very small. So think about it. After all that, after he creates the galaxies, you know, and the hundreds of billions of stars that are in each one. There's like a billion galaxies out there. I mean, after he creates all of that, and he steps back and he says it's good because it is good. He's like, man, that's awesome. This is good. But after creating Adam and Eve, he says, all that is good up there, but this is better. But I like this the most. This is very good. See, you may be small, but you are cherished by a big God. He put thought into you when he decided to create you. The God of the universe knows your name. For some reason, he wants a relationship with you and me. And somewhere deep down in every single one of us, there is this longing, there is this desire to somehow, in some way, know our Creator. And it's somewhere deep down where we want a relationship with that. We want a relationship with Him. And we'll talk more about that in the next few weeks. But I just want you to know today that He loved you enough that at one point, you know what He does? 2,000 years ago, in our point of view, he comes down in the form of Jesus, in a form of a man, and he actually dies for you. So not only does he want that relationship with you, and we see all the way at the beginning of creation, they actually proved that a couple thousand years ago. The Bible says all we have to do is we got to surrender our life to him, that he is there and he is calling. And too many of us, we kind of put our hand up or we kind of ignore him. We're like, well, I'm just too busy with whatever situations are going on in my life. And so we just kind of keep him at arm's length and we never begin that relationship with him. And if that's you here this morning, I'm telling you, don't do that. See, all this pain and suffering and disappointment and heartache and misery and hurt that we go through, man, that just was not how God made this world to be. It's not what he ever wanted. Life was perfect with a perfect relationship with God. In fact, you know what it looks like? It looks like God would spend his evenings walking and talking with both Adam and Eve, just like hanging out, just building that relationship with each other. So I'm just saying, if you're here today and you're like, man, I just don't know about this whole like Jesus stuff or God, like, or maybe even creation. Like, I'm just not 100% sold on that. But you're searching. I'm saying keep searching. Keep searching for answers. Keep searching for someone that can explain it all. Because eventually, if you search hard enough and you search long enough, it's going to lead you back to this book. See, we were created with a purpose, to be in a relationship with our Creator. In the beginning, he says, God created the earth, and the earth was perfect, and our relationship with God was perfect, and our life was perfect, and there was no pain, there was no suffering, there was no guilt, there was no shame, there was no misery, there was no hurt, death, there was no concept of death because death had never happened before. It didn't exist until something happened. And we'll get to that next week. Let's pray. God, we thank you for explaining how you created. And God, we look out at nature and you just didn't create something boring, something small, something we could understand. No, you did the opposite. You created something that is so detailed that we don't have the brain capacity to understand how it all fits together. God, you made it something so massively large that we don't have the brain capacity to understand how large it is. We can't wrap our minds around it. And God, we know you did that because you are a big, big God. You're so much higher, so much above us. But what's crazy about that, God, is that some way, somehow, for some reason, you still desire a relationship with us, even though we are so small. And God, we thank you so much for that. Help us as we go through this week, as we look at the, I don't know, trees, the grass, the things around us that we didn't make, that you made. Help us to think about you, knowing that everything that you made, it just screams that you are there and that you are wanting a relationship with us, that you are trying to reveal yourself to us. God, help us to look for it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.